podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Welcome, bienvenue, I know episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. the shutuppodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien, Big Daddy Labrador. Yeah. Oh, man, I meant to add the controversial Negro. The controversial. All right. Today's date is June 28, 2026, and it's blood clot hot in the city of Ottawa. Oh, right. June 26, 2028, and we're at episode 351. And today I'll be talking about my inability, unwillingness to process mistakes. That's going to be today's final say. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotables and randomness. All right. Yeah, my energy is a little low, but I'll get to that. But yeah, let me just get these quotables out the way. You know what? A running theme in today's episode is going to be the idea of mistakes, the concept mistakes. Right, specifically mine. All right, three quotes for today. First one goes, the greatest mistake a man can make is to be afraid of making one. Albert Hubbard.
Message!
No man fails who does his best. Orison Swett Marden.
Message!
Last one is, sometimes we may learn more from a man's errors than from his virtue. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Message!
All right, that's it for quotables. Time for, let me share some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
First one.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
All right. For those of you who noticed, I didn't publish an episode last Wednesday. I didn't even give you a heads up about it. And what happened is on that day, I went in to get a teeth extraction. Sure, if I had planned it, but doesn't matter. All right. So long story short, I had a molar extracted because I have insurance. Why the fuck not? Dentist recommended it. But doesn't matter. But the point is, teeth is extracted. And I want to give a strict shout out to Advil and Tylenol. One molar. My homegirl did the same thing. I have a homegirl. She did the same thing a while back. And he took out three teeth. And yeah, man, she's a thug. Yeah. Anyways, this is why I don't see the relationship between molar removed and my lack of energy, but let's just say that I got to chill a little bit. Oh, yeah, I got to chill a little bit because in addition to the molar being removed, I also had a biopsy, which, read the fine print. I'm laughing because they make you sign a consent form. And I read it the night before, and I'm like, biopsy? What the fuck is that? Google it. But I don't even pay attention to the definition, but I ended up agreeing to them doing shit fondling my mouth, and I got stitches in my jaw. And, it's an experience. I'm not going to cry about it, but I'm just going to say that I'm feeling a little, I nearly did not record. Reason I bring up pain is because the word they use is pain management. I mean, I knew it was going to hurt. The process didn't hurt. No, this is what happened. Is when the painkillers wear off, that's when you're like, oh. And usually I tough these things out because I grew up with these Hotep brothers and they were like, yeah, don't trust the white man and his painkillers. And this time I was like, man, fuck that. I ain't got shit to prove. My parents immigrated to this country so their baby boy wouldn't suffer. So, yeah, I've been, like, popping pills like a motherfucker. Like, I mean, thank God that they're not Percocet or shit like that. But I can see how poor folks, like, how this could turn into an addiction. Yeah, right now I'm feeling chill, as you can tell by the sound of my voice. But it was an interesting experience. So, I mean, I think two thoughts that I want to share about the experience is, the first one is, I was thinking about the fact that how I went in there and I trusted these white folks to knock me out and wake me up. Or better yet, to knock me out and not do no funny business with my, you know, with my booty hole. Not that my booty hole was exposed. My point is, trust. How you trust the professional to do exactly what they say they're going to do. If I was the paranoid type, I'd be like, fuck. It was just interesting how they sat me down and they put a needle in my arm. I guess the reason why I'm thinking of about the fact that they put me to sleep, they put a needle in my arm for sedation to put me to sleep, is because I was just watching a video. I forget what it was about the electric chair, how they put a needle in you. And it was just putting the parallel. I'm like, you really did that shit. Like a big boy. And I should establish, not that there was a reason to not trust them. I'm just reflecting on the fact that, look, man, society runs on trust. I mean, yeah, we try to like act like everyone is independent. I don't need anyone. But the truth is, I couldn't have pulled out this teeth by myself. And in order for this process to happen, I had to trust other people. Anyways, this is starting to feel like a sermon. I'll just get it out the way. All right, yeah, that's it, man. It was also interesting how sedation, I don't know if you've ever had an operation or surgery or whatever, it's more like homegirl put the needle in my arm, in my vein, and and it's last thing I remember her saying is, all right, good night, or something like that. All right, well, see you when you're done. And I don't remember passing out. I guess I'm not supposed to, but the idea that I lost consciousness, that's what freaks me out. I guess if you've ever been roll hip, that's not a pleasant experience. But it's more, I remember the needle, and I remember saying, all right, well, see you in a bit. And like, what do you mean? That moment of loss of consciousness, and then when I wake up, my first thought is, oh, fuck, is this shit done yet or what? They were done. When I regained consciousness, my first thought was, because to my brain, time hasn't passed. But it just made me think about perception, how how easy it is to deceive your brain. Yeah. I'm fascinated at how that moment of loss of consciousness, and if I were to trust my brain, like trust, I'm like, what do you mean? Nothing happened. The only proof that I had that they've like fucked with my mouth is the missing tooth, and then how fucked up I feel, like how I'm all numb and shit, and all groggy. Yeah, but put that away. The last point I want to bring up is, one thing I will say is, I am very grateful for the quality of empathy in human beings. The staff were like cool people, and especially the nurse who walked me into the room. I guess I was nervous, but wasn't admitting that I was nervous, because, you know, I'm Mr. Tough Guy. I'm thinking about how Pac, when he got shot, you know, this ain't nothing, man. I'll just walk it off, whatever, man. But yeah, so subconscious, she picked up on the fact that I was nervous, and I can sense her being fully comforting. I think this is just, I'm just going to add a middle finger to Elon Musk, who said like empathy is the downfall of society. I'm just a sensitive guy who's just grateful that she saw my nervousness and didn't punk me for it, or just like, or gave a fuck and just like walked me through the process and let me make my dumb jokes to pass the time and whatever. I don't know. I guess I just had a moment where I was just grateful for empathy from another human being. Even though it's their job, but it's still, I don't know, it meant something to me. I don't know. Maybe that's what happens when you get older, man. Just you learn to appreciate shit or the kindness of strangers. And that's about it, man. So what time is it? Yeah, I'm I want to say the pain is like being less, but it's been fucking with my sleep. That's one thing for sure, man. I can't use, but whatever, man. Anyway, so this is long story. All this to say that I need to calm down. I need to calm because I'm yelling. Yeah. All this to say, this is why episode 351 wasn't published on the regular schedule. Because I'm minus one a molar.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Quick note. Yeah, again, like I said, this was supposed to be published last week, but I'm just going to quick mention that House of Dragons is back on HBO, on TV. And I purposely called the House of Dragons because I learned on social media that black folks pronounce it House of Dragons. It's House of the Dragons. But, you know, I'm a follower. Whatever my people do, I do. Anyways, I'm realizing, for me, what makes the show entertaining, apart from the entertaining show, apart from all the books available if you want to read up, is the discussion afterwards. How the way it brings people to get together, especially black folks. I'm surprised. I don't know if I want to say surprised, but on social media, there's a lot of black folks who are watching this show, and it's funny. It's hilarious to get their take on it. I'm also grateful that the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, they're continuing their tradition of recapping the show. And it's another it's funny hearing black folks take on the show that mainly consists of white characters. I'm sure they're black characters, but it's not the racial part, it's just more the interpretation of I'm just trying to say how much I'm enjoying black people's take on the scenes, on the storyline. Something to do together, right? Not to get all corny with you, but yeah, something to do all together. So yeah, this is another reason that I'm recording today's episode. It's a Sunday. I'm recording a little early because I want to be able to edit and then be ready to watch the movie. Discipline, kids. Stay disciplined.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Tiger was a training op, dress rehearsal for D-Day. They walked right into it. One mistake. Just that one mistake.
Ike, you have to stop doing this to yourself. What's done is done.
What's done is done. All right, I just played a clip from the movie Pressure, which I went to go see last Tuesday. I'm laughing at a little chuckling at myself because I remember my incentive to go see the movie, aside from it being a World War II movie, and I'm a World War II history fanatic. I mean, war sucks, kids, don't get me wrong. But learning about World War II is a fascinating topic for me. And, ooh, demon. And, aside from it being a World War II movie, I remember because the next day I was going to get my molar removed, and I said, okay, well, let me give my molar one last salute by giving it some popcorn to crunch on. Anyway, so the clip you just heard is from the movie Pressure, and in this particular movie, it's not like Saving Private Ryan, in a sense that it's really like nerd shit, and it baffles me. It is based on Ike Eisenhower, Mr. Eisenhower, the supreme commander of the Allies, and he's the one who had to make the final decision on when to launch D-Day, that final, that famous invasion of Europe. And it's, like the movie calls it, pressure. This nigga was under pressure because he had a date set and he ended up changing the date because he needed a favorable weather for this complicated operation to go. And the it's not just that, it's not just on Eisenhower, it's also but there's also the character James Stagg, a goddamn meteorologist. That's who had a big influence on when he's going to decide this day. You know, when we talk a lot about war, a lot of people like to romanticize war, the soldiers dying on the field, but they don't talk about the nerds in the background who makes decisions like, nah, we want to do it on Tuesday because weather's going to be favorable that day. Fucking weather. The fucking weather. Anyways. And I think what fascinates, well, first, I think I need to see James Stagg, because James Stagg was the meteorologist Eisenhower consulted. So in order to make the final decision on when to move forward with D-Day, and I need to see this nigga's resume. At the end of the movie, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, you know, when they summarize, okay, well, Eisenhower went on to be this, and James, blah, blah, they said, they asked Eisenhower, what made you decide, or what helped you decide, what made you decide on June 6th to be that date? No, they asked him, what do you credit the success of D-Day? And he responded that we had a better meteorologist than the Germans. Imagine that. A fucking meteorologist. You know what I mean? Anyways, the little things we take for granted. Oh my God. So yeah, great movie. I enjoyed it. I was really fast. I think my favorite part was trying to picture myself in the shoes of these characters. Especially Eisenhower had wanted to launch on June 5th. And James Stagg, like, tick, 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 tick. This is before the internet, by the way, kids. This is before satellite imagery, man. He's like, nah, man. The weather's going to suck that day. If you need a full moon, if you need this, that favorable condition, then, yeah, it's not going to work out. And what's fucked up is it's nice and sunny outside, and this nigga's saying, nah, weather's going to suck that week. Well, it's just fascinating to see the character. I couldn't picture myself. I've been a 99% certain of shit. And I'm like, all not standing up. I don't like being in a position where I have to contradict management, even if I am right. I know, anyways, fascinating movie. I enjoyed it. If you're into that kind of stuff, I recommend for you to watch it. All right, this concludes quotables and randomness. Time for the final say. But before we do any of that, I'm going to take a quick break.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
All right. That's a reminder for myself that I am not here to preach to you. This is not a sermon. Probably what I'm going to do is I've had a thought that I've been trying to process. I'm about to share an observation, and I journaled it, and I'm going to read it to you. Also, I need to chill, because like I said, my jaw is telling me to shut the fuck up. It's like to chill because I just had a molar removed, and my brain is still adjusting. I think my brain is like, hey, motherfucker, we're missing a teeth. Because remember, I lost consciousness, and it's like, and I think the pain is like, what the fuck did you do? What the fuck did you let these white folks do to you? Anyway, whatever. Woo, stop yelling. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to read an extract from my journal, a thought that I had. And the most important part is the line, I'm still thinking that one through. All right? Here goes. This is about an observation on processing mistakes. Here goes. Last week I had another conversation with my therapist about something I've been thinking about for a while. At some point I realize I've normalized using mistakes as a verdict. I don't really give myself grace when I make one because, to me, that's just how mistakes work. Later that week, I watched the movie Pressure.
Message!
About Eisenhower deciding whether to go ahead with D-Day. All I could think about was how I couldn't put myself in his shoes. All those lies, everything at stake. My version of hell is being asked to be in his shoes. I could not live with that responsibility of getting it right. Then it occurred to me, maybe the reason I can't imagine being Eisenhower is because I don't even know how to forgive myself for ordinary mistakes. That got me thinking about a concept in programming. For me, making a mistake reminds me of when a program throws an exception. If you're not a programmer, an exception is basically what happens when a program runs into something it wasn't expecting. It stops, it spits out a stack trace. A quick example, let's say you write a program to add two numbers together, right? Say, simple program like that. And this asshole puts in Mary Had a Little Lamb. So enter a number, and this motherfucker puts in Mary Had a Little Lamb. Well, you weren't expecting that. Well, technically you should have, but that's another story. But then instead of your program freaking out on you, exception, the term is it froze an exception, quote unquote. And it spits out a stack trace. I know I'm getting nerdy, but I'm just saying. I'm just using this analogy to conceptualize my observation on the way I process mistakes. So it spits out a stack trace. It tells you where things went wrong. As a programmer, I'm used to exceptions. The funny thing is, I don't get angry at the computer. Well, I do, but you're not supposed to. You read the stack trace, it's information, it's data. You're trying to understand what happened. But when I personally, B-Black, make a mistake, my brain does something completely different. Instead of reading the stack trace, it turns into an explosion, rage, embarrassment, self-criticism. It's like my brain isn't trying to debug the mistake. It's trying to prosecute the person who made it. I have a theory that I learned this from my parents. Not because they were trying to hurt me, but because they were probably processing mistakes the same way themselves. I inherited their way of dealing with them. Side note, don't beat your kids. This is for all you folks who talk shit about gentle programming. Gentle parenting. Wake up, B. Don't beat your kids. At least for me, it wasn't an effective way of teaching me discipline. It didn't teach me you made a mistake. It taught me you are a mistake. There's a difference. I'm not angry at my parents. Let's be clear. I'm not angry at my parents. I honestly don't think they knew any better. Another way. They couldn't teach me something they may never have learned themselves, which was how to make a mistake without turning it into a judgment about your worth, which was giving yourself grace. Maybe grace isn't pretending the exception never happened. Maybe grace is learning to read the stack trace without confusing it with a verdict about who you are. Again, I'm still thinking that one through.
Message!
There we go. All right. Yeah. The reason I use this exception analogy is because I remember when I was trying to explain to my therapist something that she's already observed. That's how therapy is. They give you the element and you make the conclusion yourself. And as I was trying to explain to her, because this is all fresh, this is like fresh in my mind. As I was trying to explain to her, I think I understand what you've been trying to tell me about the way I process mistakes. And here's the thing is, this shit is like normal for me. It's as normal as breathing air. And I use the words like when I think of a mistake I've made, or after I've made a mistake, or when I think about a mistake I've made, something in my mind explodes. And it triggers rage, anger, self-criticism, all kinds of shit. Second equation. Something explodes. And it reminded me of when you're running a program, something goes wrong, and you get an exception, an error. And you'll call it an error, but you get an exception from your computer. That explosion reminded me of an exception error from a computer, from a program, when it froze an exception. The difference, though, is I know that when I get an exception, sure, it pisses you off, but you learn from it. Granted, if you wrote the program and I needed to like calculate how many hoes I got and this motherfucker's frozen exception, I'm gonna be pissed at you. I'm gonna be like, fuck. What I learned is this program sucks, but that's not the point. The point is how it's interesting how I know that when a computer program doesn't behave the way I want it, especially if I wrote it, it's a learning opportunity. But when I fuck up, it's not a learning opportunity. It's just confirmation that you ain't shit. Again, this is why I started with, I'm not preaching. I'm not giving you any answers. This is more me making an observation about myself. And the people who will feel this are the folks who can relate to what I'm saying. So, let me wrap this up. This concludes today's episode. Another holler if you hear me. If I said something that you can relate to and you can, or if you are also a fellow, I like to beat myself up for making mistakes, or I'm a recovering, recovering addicted, beating myself up for making a mistake, I want to hear from you. Holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue?
Oh, funny story. On the last episode, I talked about Haiti. I was unaware, Haiti playing in the FIFA finals, and I was unaware that they were disqualified. I'm laughing, excuse me. No, I mean, they played hard, but it's more the fact that I was not aware of the fact that they were disqualified. And you know where I found out? I'm a therapist. I told her, hey, lady, I don't come to therapy so you can tell me bad shit, negative shit like that, all right? Anyway, she's Haitian, that's why. So that's what Haitian people do, talk about Haitian-related stuff. Anyways, so shout out to Les Grenadiers. I think folks ain't gonna... This is what I'm trying to say. We got. Do you know what I mean? sometimes we celebrate, like... The news, we're all big on, hey, first to be disqualified. But we, as Haitians, we don't think about that. We're fucking happy that we made it this far. Against all odds. So, man. So, shout out to the Grenadier for being in there. And, fire! Yeah, you should have a... But whatever, man. Yeah, shout out to the Grenadier. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
"Are you an outcast?"
This episode was rated R and F. The F was for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. Thank you for listening. Remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.